plant care is self-care and self-care is plant care. We have heard this phrase a lot these days, mostly from my mouth. I just wrote a book entirely dedicated to this topic, but it's a larger conversation now. And if you are a plant parent, no matter what stage you are in, you know that this hobby is so much deeper than just making our home environments look beautiful. Frankly, they're about beautifying our internal worlds as well, tending our inner and outer gardens. And we have to create space and time for us to allow for that connection. If you are a longtime listener of this podcast, you know this is one of my favorite topics to wax poetic about. And I'm so thankful that I found this beautiful kindred spirit in today's guest. So welcome to
Blue Mangrove Radio.
Welcome back, plant friends. I hope you've had beautifully planty weeks as per usual. I'm so excited to share this newer format of episode with you today. This isn't your classic Bloom and Grow Radio episode that's informative, instructional, about a very specific kind of plant care topic where you show up and get taught a particular skill in our hobby. It's a really juicy, deep conversation about the why behind our plant care passions. And plant friends, I'm going to be honest with you, 150 episodes in, I'm finding that I am just so drawn to the emotional and wellness benefits of this beautiful hobby we've created. It's why I dedicated 2 years to writing my self-help book that just came out called Growing Joy, The Plant Lover's Guide to Cultivating Happiness. And conversations like this one that you hear today are just lighting up my soul. It's just what it's all about, especially when we're in this time of turmoil. I think we are all looking for ways to find more space, stillness, and joy in our lives. And I really want to help you get there. I know this is a cheesy metaphor, but I almost feel like Bloom and Grow is evolving. Like, we've gone from juvenile Monstera leaf with no fenestrations to a more, you know, advanced older leaf. Like, it's been fun to feel the evolution of these conversations and, you know, how I can best help this community. And I'm just so excited to share this conversation and many more conversations like it in the future. So if you are interested in more kind of profiles and conversations rather than interviews like the one today, please slide into my DMs on Instagram at Bloom and Grow Maria, or hit me up in the Garden Party platform and let me know if you liked it, if you want more, and who you would want to hear from, what other interesting people in the space you would want me to do kind of plantrepreneur or plant person profiles on, and topics of plants and wellness you'd want to dive into. Okay, back to today's guest. So if those of you guys don't know Nia, she's known as the Bloom Journey on Instagram, and she's a huge believer in nature-based self-care herself. Nia and I have been IG friends for a while now, and you'll hear in the beginning of our conversation how we kind of moved our Instagram friendship off to an IRL friendship. But this conversation was so fun. There's so much insight. I really couldn't believe how much Nia and I have in common, and that's the beauty of taking your Instagram friendships offline and having real in-person conversations with people, because you realized how much common ground you guys share. So anyway, she's the greatest, so let's dive in. Nia, welcome to Bloom and Grow Radio.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so excited to finally connect with you. I have to say, I have an apology for you and I have a thank you for you. My apology is that I feel like I DM'd you to come on this podcast so long ago, and we've been going back and forth in DMs for so long, but I truly believe that timing like always works out. And I feel like we're both in a really perfect place to have this conversation today. So I'm sorry it's taken so long and I flaked on you a couple of times, but I'm so excited we're finally talking.
No, you have not flaked, and I am a huge proponent of divine timing, and I'm so excited about the release of your book, and because it's right in alignment with what my passion is as it relates to plants and growing. So the timing is perfect.
Yes, the timing is perfect. I planted the seed early and we've been cultivating our seed. And then also to say, so you and I have been friends on Instagram for a while, but I also wanted to thank you because you came to my book launch party and it really meant so much to me. You know, we make these internet friends, and you and I have been internet friends for a while. We do both live in New York, but I moved out. You're in the Bronx. And are you in Brooklyn?
Yeah, no, I'm in the Bronx. That's why coming to Brooklyn, I was like, I'm going to make my way there.
Yeah. And you came to Brooklyn. You really showed up for me. And I really appreciate that, because I feel like when you do something as vulnerable as like write and launch a book, you kind of learn who your real friends are, and you kind of learn who shows up. And because you and I have only been internet friends first, it really meant a lot that you showed up and that we had so much fun at that book launch party too.
Listen, I was so, every time I see people taking things offline, right? Because as media content creators, whether it's a podcast you have, whether you're a video creator, whatever it is you do, a lot of times that seems very intangible. So when you take this leap and you say, I'm going to step into like the real world and write a physical book that people can buy and touch and feel and fold the pages, it is such a place of vulnerability, and it's such a leap. And I'm so proud of you for doing that. And it's like, I appreciate it, even you just kind of like shooting me the information for when you're going to be and what's going to happen and what's what, right? Because it's so hard to keep up with folks. People are like, oh, I posted it online. I'm like, just because you posted it online does not mean that I saw it. But for you to DM me and be like, this is when it's happening, it's like, okay, I'm definitely going to make it my business to figure it out. Because you had a few things going on and I was just trying to work my schedule. And I'm like, I can make the one that's in Brooklyn on this date. I'm going to make it happen. So I'm so proud of you, and you're more than welcome for me showing up every time.
Oh, thank you. Fun story about the book launch. We had these incredible cocktails by June Shine, and Billy and I both got way tipsier than we thought we were going to at the book launch. And later we learned that the cocktail was like 8 or 9% ABV, which is like two beers. So for every one cocktail, we were like drinking two.
They were
two
so
drinks.
Good.
They were so good. Thank you, June Shine.
They were surprisingly good.
Oh my God, they were so good. That one time I got accidentally wasted at my book launch party. But anyway, you know, it's interesting too, because you say that with like, just because you post, I'm not going to see it. I also feel like in general, like these last 2 years, we've all been so isolated. And also we've all been on social media so much that I feel like everyone has this really false sense of being obsessed with themselves and like thinking, you know, because we've all just been in our own world. And I'm guilty of this. Like, I've been in my own world in the middle of the Catskills for 2 years. I've only really seen my husband and like four other people, you know, and it's this weird transition of getting back out there. And I think plants were so therapeutic for people in this time of isolation. But ironically, like the thing that got me into plants 6 years ago was the fact that it was the vehicle that helped me make adult friends. You know, like plants are such an incredible tool to make plant friends with and then turn those online plant friends into real friends, or go to book launch events or go to plant swaps and meet people. So I think, yeah, this whole time is very interesting with plants and people.
Absolutely. Because it's the community that is built around the plants. I say this often, because it's the individual piece, right? That piece, as in like P-A-C-E piece, that we get from working with our plants. And then there's a community of people who share those interests that now become like a new network for you. It's the same way that runners have their runner friends, and then like, you know, I don't know, dancers have their dancer friends. You have like these little subsets of friends in these different groups, my high school friends versus my college friends. And then I have my plant friends, right? And I say it all the time, plant people are different. It's something about humans who love to connect with nature. Like, they're just kind, loving, like nurturing, like, oh, you're a nurturer. Okay. This is going to transcend to all areas of your life. And I have friends from different types of, you know, little niche groups and things like that. But plant people are different.
A different cut, a cut above the rest. Plant people are kind people. That's what I like to say, you know. Yeah. It takes a special person to devote our time and expendable income to like caring for things that can't talk with us, you know? Okay, we've already dove into the conversation, but for those who don't know who you are, how you became the gorgeous plant lady you are now, do you want to share your story of how you became the Bloom Journey on Instagram?
Well, yes, let's give a little context. So hi, again, I'm Mia. My online platform is The Bloom Journey. And I always say The Bloom Journey is personal growth inspired by plants. And as of late, I have edited that to say personal growth inspired by plants and nature, which I can dive into later. I just edited that. And for me, mine is a journey of healing. And my personal testimony is that after coming out of a toxic relationship that concluded due to domestic violence and living in shelter housing system for 2 years, and finally finding housing and getting my own space, I essentially turned my small New York City apartment into a sanctuary for myself. not knowing, not intentionally saying that, oh, plants are going to be healing for me. I had no clue. I didn't even know. It's like someone gave me a sip of the Kool-Aid. I had no idea there was sugar in it, right? So basically, I said I was building out this space as a safe haven for myself. And it was kind of like, you know, when you see like the different, you see the IKEA, you know, setups, and you see like the apartment therapy setups, it's not complete unless there's a plant or two in the corner, right? It doesn't look right. You have to get the aesthetic. So I got my first plants for the aesthetic, for my home to look a certain way. And then I got hooked, and it was one plant and another plant. And what I realized is that all through everything that I went through, I was going to therapy. And while 100%, I always advocate for folks to go to talk therapy, it is very helpful on so many different levels. However, what I wasn't prepared for, moving out of shelter and into my apartment, I felt like, okay, great. I've done it. I've done the things I set out to do. I checked all the boxes. Because it's like when you are at what you consider to be your rock bottom, your mind, well, my mind was in full on survival mode. It's like, I need to get my credit in order, because there was a whole lot of stuff tied to my credit that was a mess that was preventing me from getting an apartment. I need to get a new job. I need to get a car. I need to get my kids situated with school. Like all these boxes that I had to tick have been ticked. Everything was in order. My credit score was looking amazing. I finally got my apartment. I had the new job with the good salary. I bought a new car. Like, everything's great. I'm looking good. I'm getting my nails done. On the outside, things felt like they had all come together. But internally, I was still dealing with a great deal of post-traumatic stress. I had high levels of social anxiety. And I'm an extrovert. I am a at the party. Hello, everybody. I am here. Extrovert.
Yes, you are. I've seen you in motion. Yeah.
That is who I've always been. Even as a child, it's my Gemini Leo rising that says I am here. Right. But in this stage of my life, I had social anxiety that I never understood. I couldn't understand how being around people was so uncomfortable. It was a very challenging time for me, because I just didn't feel like I couldn't be myself. And piece by piece, while I was in like a self-isolation, this is pre-pandemic now, because the pandemic is one thing, but this is, I will say, 2018 into 2019, when I was in my own kind of like hermit phase of isolation, because I just couldn't feel comfortable around people, plants gave me that connection to life that that felt safe, that provided that same kind of fuel that I normally would have gotten from going to a party. So naturally, it was just like one plant after another plant. It just felt good. And when I started my platform, it was like, I feel like I want to do something creative, but I don't know what I want to do. And my cousin's like, you already know what you want to do. So why are you making it hard? And I was like, do I? What? So I sat and I asked myself, okay, what do I want to do to start as a project? And I was like, what is the one thing that I'll never run out of content for, because I always want to talk about it? What's the one thing that just always makes me happy, so I can have genuine joy that transcends into any audience? And then it just like plants. It like clicked in my head. And the interesting part is that the user handle, the Bloom Journey, I had actually created on Instagram somewhere around, I'm going to say 2017, I think it was, when I created the Instagram page, because at that time I was living in shelter. And I said to myself, I want to start something that's women empowering. And I knew in my heart that I was going through this process because I was meant to live this test, to have a testimony, to help someone else in the future. So I'm like, I'm going to do this women empowerment thing. And that was the Bloom Journey. That was the handle. It was supposed to be this journey to blooming that was inspired by the story of the lotus flower, right? So are you familiar with how a lotus flower, I'm sure you are.
No mud, no lotus, baby. No mud, no lotus.
Exactly. And I was in my mud. And so for me, it was like, I'm going to use this to document my journey to blooming. So I was in the mud, and this is going to be the journey to becoming that flower at the surface of the water. I started it then, but I created the page. It literally sat there dead. I posted nothing because I was still so deep in the mud that I wasn't in a space to be creative or to post things. So when in, I want to say 2019, maybe even early 2020, again, this is pre-pandemic, before everything shut down, I decided I'm going to start posting about my plants. It was like, oh, I already have this user handle that I created. Let me just build off of that. And that's why it's like, if you scroll all the way to my very first post, it'll be like 2017. But then it's like dead silent until like the first random picture of my plants in my living room. That's like, this is my plant. That's kind of like where it started for me. And I'm very, very passionate about plants and plant therapy, because it's not something that someone had to convince me of. It wasn't something that I had to study. Yes, there is a lot of research that backs up plant therapy. I can pull the studies and I can get the numbers, but I lived it and was convinced through my own experience, not even knowing. It wasn't like someone said, here, try plants. It'll help you feel better. It just, I got a plant because I wanted my living room to look pretty, like the books, right? And then next thing you know, I started to feel better. And I was like, wow. It's almost like when you find a new restaurant or you try some food and it's so good, you want to tell everybody, you got to try this place that I found. That's how I felt. It was like, oh my goodness, you guys have to try this plant. It's amazing. Like, get yourself one. And that's how it started. And that's how I became like everyone's plant friend that encourages you to get a plant, even if you call yourself not having a green thumb. Like, this is for you. I promise you. Like, there's a reason why Adam and Eve started out in a garden. You were meant to be surrounded by plants. Get yourself a plant.
Do you have upcoming travel to a different country scheduled, or maybe you have a relative or a friend who speaks a different language that you want to connect with on a deeper level? Why not easily learn a new language with my favorite language learning tool, Rosetta Stone? I recently went to Italy and I brushed up on my Italian by using the Rosetta Stone app for like 20 minutes every morning. It was so easy to use. It was part of my morning practice. It was really fun. And let me tell you, Rosetta Stone works. It brushed me up so good. I was getting around Italy easily speaking Italian after putting those reps in. If you don't already know, Rosetta Stone is the trusted language learning tool available on desktop or as an app. Rosetta Stone has 30 years of experience, millions of users, and 25 languages offered. It makes language learning so fun, so easy, and so fast. It immerses you in the language, which is the fastest way to learn. So it's an intuitive process with no English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in the language. It even coaches you on pronunciation with its true accent feature, which is like basically having a physical trainer for your accent. It's so wild. The desktop and app options make it so easy to do consistently, and it's an amazing value. Lifetime membership has all 25 languages forever for any and all trips and language needs in your entire life. So this year I brushed up on my Italian, but next year Billy and I want to go to Japan so we could learn conversational Japanese with it. That's lifetime access to 25 language courses Rosetta Stone has to offer, and right now they're offering 50% off. It's an insane steal. So don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Growing Joy with Plants listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life, plant friends. It's an insane deal. Redeem 50% off at Rosetta, R-O-S-E-T-T-A, stone.com/today. Oh my gosh, Nia, I just relate to so much stuff you just said. I like to say that I came for the aesthetic, but I stayed for the wellness when it comes to my plant care journey. I wrote a couple of notes down because you just hit so many interesting things I'd love to dig a little bit deeper into. But first off, so what you were saying, that is a crazy, I got goosebumps telling the story about your handle, the bloom journey, because the synchronicities and timing, once again, is so unique. And we see this in plants. Okay, so seed dormancy. I took a science of seed dormancy class in my garden society, and something really interesting that you learn is, you know, seeds need very particular conditions in order to germinate, and they can lie dormant for years until the conditions are correct in order for them to germinate. It's mostly weather related. There are seeds that will not germinate until they are burned, consumed by fire. And it's like you had that seed start in 2017, creating the handle. And that seed needed that thought, that intuitive hit that you got needed to like lie dormant for a few years so you could move through the mud and bloom.
Oh my God. I love the analogy of a seed. I'm reading this book right now and they use a seed analogy. And I'm like, oh yes, I was just reading something that where they use a similar seed analogy. So of course it has no cover because I run around without the cover. So the book is called Being in Love by Osho. This is
love Osho.
Obviously, like this is a podcast and y'all can't see it, but Maria can see it. So yeah, so very early on in it, and he's talking about you know, children and how we grow and how like exactly how a seed is, where there's this protective shell that's necessary for a period of time. But if that external piece of that shell does not shed itself away eventually, then it stunts the growth. You can never actually have the plant. You'll never have proper growth. So it's like, it serves a purpose. So for example, think of like an avocado seed. I feel like a lot of folks are familiar with those. Everybody wants to grow an avocado plant. When you break, or even a mango, a mango seed is even better. When you eat down a mango, it's like, oh, this is a seed. Yeah, but the part that you actually plant, you have to take off that outer part and plant the piece that's inside. So that protective shell serves a purpose, just like a sunflower seed. It serves a purpose, but it needs to kind of like, you know, deteriorate into the ground around it in order for the actual seed inside to grow and to bloom. And so it was one of those things where you were talking about like the ego, right? Like we all have ego, which is necessary as a baby. But then as you come into your adulthood, you don't really need that anymore. You need to shed it because it's going to actually stunt your growth. So it's, there's so many metaphors. I am the queen of planting metaphors. Everything in life can be like aligned with a plant metaphor. Everything.
Well, because we are we're not plants, but we are nature, right? Like there's a reason why it's so intuitive and effortless to connect with these beings and learn from them if you prime your heart to be open to it, because we are intrinsically connected. We are both living, breathing things that have cells and DNA. And, you know, it's interesting, as I was doing research for my book, I was looking at the most famous quotes about nature and wellness and plants. So many of the most famous mindfulness, wellness teachers, like the old ones, like Osho, like Thich Nhat Hanh, like Buddha, like they all talk about plants because we used to be way more connected to them and we've gotten more and more disconnected. And it's so funny, you and I have gone through such a similar experience of not having plants, finding plants, and then having that like light bulb moment, that corner of your heart that was dormant, like being set off like a rainbow, and reconnecting with that kind of lost part of yourself. And the funny part is, it's like when I went through that experience, I thought my experience was unique. You go through your experience, and now, like as I've shared, it's like this is so common. Like this awakening is so accessible and easy and natural. And more people, everybody needs to have it, you know, yes. Which is what makes us crazy, being like, you got to do it. You got it. It's okay. You're not a plant killer. I swear. Let me help you.
It's like,
you
know? It's okay. Dad, here's another one. Here's another one. Just, you're fine. Here's how to pull those.
So what about, did you grow up with plants or no, you were, what was your childhood experience with plants and nature like?
So I did, in the sense that my grandmother was a plant lady, right? Like a lot of folks talk about like their grandmothers having plants, and she did. She wasn't like the way we are, where she knew like the scientific names and some of the things that we really dive our. I think that our generation is a little bit more like information intense because we have access to things like Google. We're just like, when we have information at our fingertips, we dive into it. So we want to know the scientific name and what part of the world it grows in, so we can put the proper growing conditions. Grandma wasn't into all that. Like she might have known a common name for something, but I'm pretty sure that half the plants in her living room, she didn't know what they were called.
Or they all had like really inappropriate names for all their plants that none of us would use anymore, you know?
Yes, 100%. Yeah, totally. It's like the what plant?
Yeah.
But yeah, so she had like this amazing plant hoarder that growing up, I didn't even realize how many plants she had until she passed on and we were clearing out her apartment and that section didn't have plants anymore. I was like, God, this room is huge because all the plants were here. But yeah, my grandmother had plants always. My grandparents on my father's side had a garden in the back where my grandfather used to garden outside. My mother always had plants in the house. It's just that they were just kind of there. You know, I didn't really pay attention to them. I didn't have chores to water the plants or care for them or do anything really. They were just there. And I always said, oh, I can't keep a plant. Like I was killing bamboo. Like I was just like, yeah. I can't keep a plant. And so like for me to move through all my life and never have one until like now, like this part of my life is like, wow. Like, yeah, I grew up with plants around me, but I was not interacting with them. I wasn't watering them. I wasn't paying attention to them. If I burned myself with the iron, my grandmother came running with a piece of aloe, but like that was the extent to which I really paid mind to them. But what I will say is that I've always felt a deep connection to just like nature. So maybe not necessarily growing potted plants in the home, but I loved being outside. I used to camp. I used to hike at a very early age. My mom sent me off, you know, to summer camp for the summers. And I was in, like, I guess it was probably Hudson Valley, which I didn't even know at the time, but we call it everything north of Westchester is upstate, right? So I was upstate.
100%. Yeah. 100%.
So, just like in the woods. So I've always had a deep connection to nature, and I love the tropics. When you go anywhere that has like lush plant life, like the plants that we keep in our home now, but like that grow naturally outside. So as a child going to Jamaica and different parts of the Caribbean, it was like, oh, this is where I'm meant to be, in this like lush environment, which is partly why my home is kind of like a little jungle.
Yeah, totally. Okay. So speaking of childhood, I have to ask you another very strange, very particular thing that we both have in common that I've never actually met anyone else have, but I was poking around on your Instagram a while ago. I think it's one of the first reasons why I reached out to you, because I was just like, I can't believe another person has dealt with this. But I want to ask you, because I feel like it really informed my disconnection with plants as a kid, because I was very disconnected and I was very plant blind. So we both have a deathly allergy to mosquitoes.
Yes, it is. I don't think I've met anyone else with that allergy. When I tell folks that I'm allergic to mosquitoes, typically the response growing up is like, oh, whatever, everyone's allergic to mosquitoes. I'm like, no, I don't mean like it itches and it turns red. I mean, like, I'll be in the hospital if I get too many bites and I could die. And they're like, yeah. Oh.
In 2017, I almost lost my leg. I was in the hospital for 2 days with acute cellulitis because of bug bites. But I think because I was a kid and I was so allergic growing up, I associated the outdoors with my allergy. Like I also had hay fever. I was like kind of a brat as a kid. And I was kind of allergic to everything outdoors. And so I never went outdoors. I stayed indoors. I chose hobbies that kept me indoors. I was allergic to it, basically. So I think now that I look back, that mosquito allergy was actually a huge part of my disconnection from nature. Is that your experience too?
No, I didn't have that aversion. I think that I noticed that a lot of people who are into plants have like a weird aversion of bugs in general. They're like, oh no,
I found a fungus gnat.
Yeah, they like lose their minds, or like even like any kind of bug. And for me, I remember when I learned as a kid that spiders ate mosquitoes, I was like, I love spiders. Spiders eat mosquitoes. And so then I fell in love with like predatory bugs. So I never felt like I was afraid of the outside or that outside. I just didn't connect mosquitoes to the outside. I should have, because that was when I found out I was allergic to mosquitoes. It was when I was 8 years old, my first summer at sleepaway camp, when I, you know, wound up in the hospital when everybody else was like having topsy-turvy day on the lake with the boats. And I was just like in the ER and they're calling my mom like, oh yeah, her fever shot up to 180. We took her in. We didn't know what to do. And that's how we figured it out. Like, I did not know I had a mosquito allergy. And I think about it too, as a parent, like a lot of times you don't think to allergy test your kids. And that's kind of, unfortunately, how a lot of folks find out they're allergic to things, is they just encounter it and then their body reacts. Just
almost die from it. Yeah. Die. Yeah. It's wild.
Yeah. But thank you for being outside. Even in Jamaica, I had a whole regimen. I had medicine that I would take. I had like a repellent lotion I'll put. I would sleep underneath a mosquito net. Like it just wouldn't stop me from being outside. I just would do all the precautions.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah. I buy those like bracelets and the anklets and I wear them all summer. I'm crazy. But yeah. And now I'm just learning how to like live with it. And also now I just tolerate the welts a little bit better than I did as a kid. But I just thought I had to bring that up because I'm like, oh my God, I've never heard of another person doing this. So, okay, let's shift. You said so many other good things. Also, I think your survival mode, talking about how you were in survival mode. And then once you started to feel safe, you were like able to connect with stuff. It sounds like you've had amazing different seasons of your life.
Yeah. And even just seasons as a metaphor just brings us right back to nature. And I feel like even now, my current season, when we think about how a lot of us like filled our home with plants during the pandemic, and then there seemed to be like a wave of folks doing like a plant purge, right? So yeah. a lot, because I feel like for me, when I was working remotely of course, all I want to do is pour myself into my plants. And I was physically here. I might be on a Zoom call, I might be doing work, but at the corner of my eye, if I see somebody's a little bit thirsty, I can kind of take a second and go and tend to them. It's not as easy when you have to jump back into the world and then have responsibilities. And for those of us who like to travel, like, I just came back from being away for a week. If you need to be watered more than once a week, you're not going to survive in my home, because I have to be able to leave you alone for at least 5 to 7 days, because yeah, it's just not going to work out. So that's also part of that season. And I think we've learned so much also just about letting go, right? Because once you go like public on the internet and it's like people know you as this person that has hundreds of plants in your apartment, what do you do when you decide, I don't want to have hundreds of plants in my apartment anymore? Does that make me a lie? Am I a phony? Am I this? Am I that? No, this is a new stage. I still have a lot of plants, and people who didn't see how many I had before are like, you have an insane amount of plants. I'm like, yes, but I have less than I had before.
Yeah. You don't even know. Yeah, totally.
You know, so, and that's okay too. That's part of those seasons that we go through, and it's okay to let go. Our plants let go all the time. They let go of yellow leaves, you know, when that's part of like that shedding process. That's okay. You know, I know a lot of folks, like when that first yellow leaf is like, oh, panic, but it's like, hey, you have this new leaf coming in. It's just transference of energy. Like the plant's trying to grow this way. It's got to shed some of that old stuff from the past. And the same way, like our plants, as we grow as people, we have to be okay with shedding and letting go of some things that are no longer serving us.
Thank you to our episode sponsors, Territorial Seed Company and Soltech Solutions. Plant friends, it's almost time for planting the star of the overwintering vegetable garden this year, garlic. And if you're interested in planting garlic, you've got to do it with Territorial Seed Company. So garlic is planted in the fall and harvested in the spring or summer. So it's a fun fall garden project to do. It's a super easy crop to grow, and it rewards your efforts with long storage capability, unmistakable flavor, exceptional health benefits, and unmatched versatility. Once you've tasted homegrown garlic, it's going to be really hard to go back to store-bought garlic. Melody grew garlic in her garden last year when I gardened with her, and we had so much fun harvesting and drying it. And Territorial Seed Company has a vast array of delicious garlic within your reach, and it's prime time to get some to make sure that you get it in the fall and you get the varieties that you want. They're kind of famous for their garlic. They have an incredible array of it. So if you're interested in trying it out, Territorial Seed has a exclusive discount just for listeners of Bloom & Grow Radio. The code GROW10 at checkout at territorialseed.com is going to get you 10% off your order. Why not try garlic? You plant it in the fall, you harvest in the spring. It's available for pre-order now, along with their full selection of seeds and supplies at territorialseed.com. And don't forget that code GROW10 at checkout. Okay, plant friends, we know the sun is what helps our plants make their food and thrive. And although the sun is shining right now in the summer months, it can't reach every part of your home. Many of us have basement offices or entertainment rooms with no windows. And I know that many people in our community struggle with low light homes, but really want high light plants. Enter the answer to your prayers, Soltech Solutions, a plant light that lets you grow any plant anywhere without limitations. If you've listened to this podcast, you know I am a huge fan of Soltech Solutions. I have 5 of their grow lights in my home now. Soltech Solutions has you covered with their full spectrum photosynthetic plant lights that give off a warm white glow that seamlessly blends into your home decor. No more dead plants or harsh looking grow lights. You can keep any plant in your home without having to look at ugly purple grow lights all winter. That is so last season. Soltech's sleek and modern plant lights make sure that your plants are getting the proper amount of light they need all year round, not just in the summer months when the sun is shining, while fitting seamlessly into your home's decor. I can't tell you how many times I had people over to my home in New York City and they had no idea the Soltech lights were grow lights. They thought they were just normal, super stylish modern lights that we had in our apartment. So whether you're looking for a pendant light, track lighting, or just a simple light bulb to screw into any standard light fixture, Soltech offers quality products with great customer service, free shipping, and a 5-year warranty. As I record this episode for you, I've got their Vita bulb screwed into my desk lamp for my Hoya collection. Keep the sun shining and the plants green inside your home with Soltech Solutions year-round. Check them out at soltechsolutions.com and get 15% off with code BLOOM15. That's BLOOM15 at checkout at soltechsolutions.com. It's interesting you brought up the purge, the pandemic plant parent purge and fear. I felt that very deeply in our community, kind of at the end of last year, beginning of this year, the overwhelm. And I actually, I included a whole chapter in my book called The Dark Side of Plant Care, because I think plants get this reputation for being 100%. I stand by it. Plants are the number one wellness tool I have in my toolkit. But I think then, because on Instagram and, you know, social media, they're touted as this perfect hobby and these perfect everything, people feel that pressure to be perfect at it. And when they're not, they make it a mean as something about themselves. Then they feel like a failure. Then they get into this crazy cycle. And I've just seen over and over again, people really struggling with feelings of insecurity or ineptitude, and dealing with those feelings is part of this process. It's part of this journey, and it's so important. So, you know, one of the chapters is called On Plant Death, because it's like when your plant dies, you know, and going on a plant, my husband, this is part of my story from way back when the podcast started, but I was collecting plants at like a really unhealthy rate. I was like so obsessed when I first got into them. And my husband, he was my boyfriend at the time. So bold as the boyfriend, now as the husband, you know, he's got me, it's harder for me to like break up with him, but it's me or the plants. But he asked me to go on a plant pause, and it was so hard, but it was probably the best thing I've ever done for collecting, because it made me stop and get to know the plants that I already had and not get to that overwhelm. And there's so much power in letting go of plants. Like, I counted my plants today. I think I have 50 plants right now. And I used to tout that I had 150 plants in 500 square feet. That was like a huge part of my brand when I lived in New York City. And my life drastically changed in the last 2 years. And I would be so unwell. Like, I would be so miserable if I had all 150 of those plants in my current life circumstances with three different moves and all the chaos in my personal life. And I just think everything you said, it's so real. And I'm happy we're both talking about it, because I feel like people feel very lonely in that experience and in those feelings of failure. But it's like, no. That's part of it. You're just you're in a down season. Also, like, some people in my community on my podcast, like our recent new parents, they had all these plants, then they have babies, human babies instead of plant babies. And they're like, I don't know how to manage this. Of course you don't. Like, of course you should reduce your plant collection while you go through this transition. Like, that's okay. Plants will be here. Plants were here before us and they'll be here after us. Like, if you ever want to get back into this, you're welcome to, you know?
And a part of the fun part too is like, so I have certain plants in my collection that the price point of how plants fluctuates has been really interesting.
Oh my gosh. Right? Yeah,
So there are some that I have that I spent like all this money on that now it's like $15. It's like, what? And then there are others that I got for like $15 and now they're super expensive. And so it's like the ones that are super expensive, I'm like, okay, let me make sure and take care of you, because you're an investment now. You're an appreciating asset because your price is just going up, right? Like, I have this Raphidophora decursiva or decursiva, depending on how you choose to pronounce it. I'm a dragon's tail for some folks who want to call it that. And I'm looking at her right now and I was like, oh, she was struggling. But I came home from a week and she pushed out a new leaf. And I'm like, look at you pushing out a new leaf.
Yeah.
But I got that plant for $15 at the farmer's market at Union Square. And now they're like, the price points on those plants are crazy. So it's like, listen, things shift, things go. It's okay. That's life. It's just like the real estate market. It goes up, it goes down. But you have to do what works for you at the time. You cannot worry about it at all. And you cannot feel bad when things don't go the right way or feel like you have to live up to a standard. And it's so funny how you said they have human babies, because I say that all the time. I talk about my plant babies, but then it's like, I have to specify human babies, because I'm like, I have two human children in addition to my hundreds of plants. Like, y'all gotta come meet, and a cat. I have two human children and a cat.
That's extremely impressive.
There's a lot of things I take care of around here.
Oh my God, I love it. Also, shout out to the Raphidophora decursiva. I have one as well. And I also have a Raphidophora tetrasperma. It's one of my favorite plants. And that genus, Raphidophora, whatever you want to call it, vigorous grower. I feel like some of these really fancy plants end up being kind of annoying and hard to take care of. But both of my Raphidophoras like grow like gangbusters. They're super easy to take care of. Give them a little bit of light and remember to water them occasionally. And they're going crazy. And the fenestrations on both of them are so different. They're so fun to watch each leaf unfurl. So if you're in the market for expanding your plant collection in a healthy, sustainable way, you should get a Raphidophora decorativa if you can.
Yes, you could.
Okay. So we're talking so much about plant pens. So I'm curious, what is your like plant life parallel that keeps getting reflected back to you the most these days?
Oh, goodness. What's constantly being reinforced, especially in recent months, is the importance of pouring into myself. So I frequently refer to my plants as my botanical mood ring. Seriously, if you want to know how I'm doing, like how I'm doing mentally and emotionally, look at the state of my plants.
Yeah.
If the state of my plants, like right now, like, okay, like I'm about to do like some major plant care over the next week. I'm very excited. But like for a while, you would look at them and they were just looking very neglected. So if my plants look neglected, I promise you that means that I've been neglecting myself, because my plant care is my time with myself. And when I say self-care through plant care, I really, really mean it. Because if I'm neglecting my plants, that means that I've allowed myself to get caught up in the rhythm of the rat race. And I talk about it as a New Yorker, but it happens to all of us, especially when we have a lot of responsibilities. You kind of get into this rhythm of you wake up, you go to work, you do the things, you come back, you're tired, you go to bed, you wake up, you do the work, you do the things. And you're constantly been driven by your to-do list, just going, just going, just going. And then it's like, that's when watering your plants becomes a chore. You're kind of just like throwing water all over the place. Like, oh, I have to water my plants. And you're just like splashing water quickly to go to the next thing and not really being mindful. So what my plants are consistently reminding me of is that importance of mindfulness and just taking pause, because it is so, so easy just to get caught up and constantly going that you're not taking pause. You're not being mindful. And you're not pouring into yourself. And that's not everyone, but that is a challenge that I have. My top two love languages, for those of us who are familiar with the concept of love languages, I'm sure you are. Any of the listeners who are not familiar, I suggest you get familiar. It's a wonderful thing.
Read the book, yeah.
Yes, to understand yourself. So for me, my top love languages are quality time and acts of service, right? So learning how to not just express that to other people, but to myself. So if my primary love language is quality time, how am I expressing quality time to myself? Am I carving out time just for myself to sit with my plants, to pay attention to them, to be mindful? Acts of service looks like repotting my plants, looks like trimming my plants, pruning them, not just watering. There's so many other things that go on with plant care that's not just watering that can be done. These are all acts of service that I'm doing for them, but simultaneously it's something that I'm doing for myself, because I'm spending that time really with myself. And so that is a message that is reinforced constantly, because it's the message that I need. I think that there are so many lessons we can learn from our plants, and each of us is going to have a different lesson that's reflected back based on what our needs are. I'm that nurturer, caring person who needs to constantly be reminded, hey, take care of yourself too. That's why I'm always preaching self-care. It's like I do it for everyone else, but really I do it for myself. I put things in my stories for myself. Like I love seeing reels and posts that talk about people watching their own stories. That's what I know. I'm not crazy. I literally may not watch other people's stories, but I will watch my own stories for the full 24 hours that they're in rotation, just to reread the different quotes and the inspirational things that had resonated with me, to see them back again, because these are the messages that I know I need to see. And that's what my plants constantly remind me of. They look at me and they're like, hey, we're looking a little wilty over here. Chances are you're looking a little wilty too. Have you taken time to do your meditation? Have you taken time to just be mindful? Have you just taken time to just like put your phone on D&D and ignore people? Like sometimes yeah. You need to carve that hour out and not feel guilty about it.
Yeah. The first chapter of my book is look at a plant before you look at a screen. That's what I preach, man. Like, gosh, Nia, I mean, we have so many similarities. That was the big thing with plants that like changed my life, was that I stopped looking at my screens in the morning and I started looking at my plants in the morning, and I put my phone in its case and I took some mindful moments. Cause in New York City, when you live in a crazy city, or when you just are a person living in 2022 with a 24/7 news cycle, it is so easy to not have one moment with your thoughts. It's easy to not have an original thought all day. because you're either watching other people's thoughts, you're listening to the news, you're running, you know, to all your appointments, and you have to kind of force that time with yourself because it's so necessary, man. Yeah, it's so crucial, and plants are such a great tool for doing that. And it's sad that we need a tool, right? Like, I feel like our parents' generations, the generations older than us, they knew that time. You know, I was on someone's podcast, and this was the clip that they put like on their huge Instagram account, which was embarrassing, but kind of funny. But like, we can't go to the bathroom without our phones anymore. You know, like when our parents' generations, it's like they had that time in the bathroom or in the shower or whatever. And now we're like listening to podcasts in the shower and we're scrolling Instagram. It's like we have no time with ourselves anymore. And plants create that space and that time, you know?
Yes, 110%. 110%. I feel like sometimes I want to challenge that because I feel like, well, what about all those pictures of when they were sitting on the toilet with newspaper? They were listening at the news on a paper.
That's true.
We got it on our phone.
Or books,
you know, but yeah. At the same time, it was different. It wasn't a screen. I feel like screens are just so different in the way that they interact with our brain. And so for me, it's 100% that. And I catch myself, and that's one of the things with social media too. So as someone whose social media platform is built on plants, you get kind of caught up with the algorithm and the schedulings. And they say things like the best time to post to social media is 7 a.m., right? Is what they say. You see a lot of folks putting out their content at 7 a.m. like clockwork. And if you're not scheduling your content, that means you're literally like working on posting content first thing in the morning. That means that you're sitting there with your screen first thing in the morning. You're not actually taking that time for yourself. And that's why when I tell people that I wake up every morning at like 4:45, 4:30, they look like crazy, but it's like, I need that time for myself before I give it to the world. And if the world wants my time at 7 a.m., well, then by golly, I need to be up before 5 because yeah. I need at least 2 hours.
Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, yeah. You are speaking to my heart right now. So what about, you know, I've noticed on your Instagram account, you've gone from mostly posting about houseplants to now sharing a lot of nature-based content. I feel like you're on hikes every day. I'm like on following your journey on all these mountains, and you're always getting out there. So I also feel like it's important to like allow your interests in nature with plants to ebb and flow. So what is that journey and that kind of shift that I'm noticing kind of look like? You're wearing a very cute workout matching set right now, by the way. So I'm like, is she going to go on a hike after this talk?
I am not. I have just discovered athleisure and I just don't want to wear anything else. It's like yoga pants and sports bras all day. I do go hiking almost every weekend. I try to go at least once a week. And part of it is, I don't know, I think that it wasn't as if like the parks were closed during the pandemic, because they certainly weren't. I definitely could have been going hiking then too. So it's not as if like suddenly, oh, outside the woods are open, they were closed during the pandemic, let me get out there. But it's just, I think, the next stage of my journey, right? And that's why it's a journey. It's not a destination. I haven't arrived. And we don't always know what's around the corner. And with my platform, I tell folks, what you see is always going to be genuinely me, right? Like I don't have, like, yeah, sometimes it's like a full character where we're like playing and we're jokes and we're in persona. And I have my London Lily accent where we're doing tea with plants.
That's right, different. Tea with plants, yes.
Yes, that's a whole nother different thing. But in terms of like me presenting myself, what I committed to myself and to anyone who decides to follow me on this journey of personal growth inspired by plants is to always just be transparent and honest. Like, this is where I'm at. So as much as I have my plants, I have felt like a serious pull to getting outside. One of the things that I've always struggled with is just like fitness and exercise. I've always been just kind of like naturally slim. I never had like to worry about like weight. I've had insecurities around not having enough weight on me. Like everybody has a thing. But I think because there's never been an external push to be fit and to exercise, I just never did it. And when I tried to work out, it was just like, I hate this. I don't want to do it because I also don't have any natural muscle tone. So I just felt like I was weak and I just didn't want to do the things and I don't want to do it. But part of getting outside has been also part of my fitness journey, because as I move through my 30s here and through adulthood, you start to look at fitness differently. You look at working out differently. You don't just exercise to lose weight or exercise to look a certain way. It's about our health. And I think that part of my journey with plants has extended beyond just plant care in my home, but now having a desire to want to grow plants. So I have my arrow garden. So I want to start with just some herbs that I can cook in the kitchen. I started thinking about my overall diet, how to be more sustainable. I don't necessarily think that I'll ever really fully be vegan. I don't know. We'll see that where it goes. But that's been part of also just the influence of the plant community on me. I follow a lot of vegans, a lot of people who have been on this full journey of, yes, I care about plants and I like plants in my home, but even bigger than that, I care about the environment and the earth and my lifestyle and how that interacts with plants and every aspect of things that I do. And I think that that's been part of this pull to want to get outside. My home became my safe haven. And what plants allowed me to do was have the courage to leave my safe haven and get out in the world. And I think that when I climbed that first mountain, it was that same kind of hit. Like when you get a couple plants and you feel that hit, it was grueling climbing. So let me tell you, when it comes to going out, I was with some friends. I have a friend that hikes regularly. And the first little hiking excursion they took me on was Breakneck Ridge. For those who are not familiar with the Mid-Hudson Valley and the Hudson Highlands, Breakneck Ridge is a killer, like straight up incline. It is a scramble for someone.
Yeah, you're like rock climbing.
You're literally rock climbing. And for that to be my first hike, I was like, why are you trying to kill me?
Yeah,
rude. So rude. And when I got to the top though, not even the top, like the first plateau, because it just keeps going. When I got to that first plateau and you're up there and you're looking around and you're just breathing and you just feel this different connection where you don't feel so close to the road or so close to like quote unquote civilization. I was just like, oh, I feel free. I feel so free from the constant noise of just being surrounded by people and things. I'm also an empath. So when there's always people around me, it's like all these energies, I'm being affected by them. But being in the woods, being with nature, and even the more I read about the impact of just like trees and the way that trees connect with one another, it's fascinating. And that's kind of how it happened. It happened just the way it happened with plants. Like I got that hit, I breathed that air, and now it's just like every Saturday, if not Saturday, then Sunday, I have to go. Like if I could go before work, I would. But the way that life is set up, I currently have to drive about 45 minutes north to get to where I'm going to do the hike. And I don't think I could do that before I go to work in the morning. But that's where it is. And so I invite people to be on this journey, because while I'm consistently pouring into myself and consistently looking to grow as a person, this has become part of that journey. And we don't have to be afraid of saying, well, I have built my brand. I have built my persona. I have built whatever around being this way. You can shift and you can grow. People do it. The best artists do it, because when you don't grow and evolve, then sooner or later you do get left behind. You have to figure out how to grow and evolve. And I think that this is just the next stage of my growth. I still have a ton of plants in my house, but where my heart is at is out in the woods. It's climbing those trails. And so if that's my passion is, that's what I'm sharing with people. And you want to know what happens in a transition like that? Your audience begins to shift. So it's like, if you look, if anyone was paying attention to my followers, just like from what you see from the outside, it would look like I haven't gained or lost a follower in the last 6 months. But what has actually been happening is I've been losing a ton of followers and gaining a ton of followers simultaneously. People that are not like vibing with the content are leaving, and people who are vibing with what's going on are coming. So it kind of looks like as quickly as they go or as quickly as they come, it's like this, they're like just being swapped out for a different type of follower. And I'm like, I'm okay with that, because it's when you came, if you came for one thing and what I'm sharing no longer serves you and you got what you need, then I thank you for being with me for the time that you were with me. And I wish you the best on the rest of your journey, whatever it may be. And maybe you'll come back to me later on time. I have no idea. But the amount of people, like literally I've had like 5 people, which is huge for me, 5 people who have sent me pictures of them on trails, sent me pictures of them outside and said to me, I was inspired by your post to go hiking. I was inspired by your post to get outside today. They'll say stuff like, I didn't climb a mountain like you. I just went for a walk, but I wanted you to know that you're the reason why I went outside. And I'm just like, it's the same thing again when someone says, you're the reason I bought a plant. It's like, I'm so excited for you to get outside and connect with nature in its most natural form. The plants that we have in our home, a lot of them were cultivated in greenhouses and nurseries. So when you step out and you see nature in the raw, right? This tree that's been in the ground for however many years, like in the raw, it's like, wow. It's a different kind of feeling. And it's like, you want to really go for it? Take your shoes off and touch the dirt. I mean, you don't got to go full on flower child with me, but I am notorious for hitting the bare feet. They're like, what are you doing right now? I'm like, I'm stripping down because I want to connect with the land. They're like, okay, too far. But yeah, like that's what it's all about.
Okay. I got so many things that I want to reflect back to. Yeah. Like people grow, plants grow. What houseplant have you ever gotten that literally doesn't grow one leaf or one anything the whole time? I mean, if it doesn't grow, it probably needs more light, P.S. But yeah, like if we're into caring for our plants and we're into being reflected by them, of course, like your plants grow. So we're going to ebb and flow. It's like juvenile monsteras don't have fenestrations, but big ones do. My Raphidophora decoursiva started with no fenestrations and it's got three different leaves and three different iterations. You know, there is evolution and that's beautiful and so natural. And I also think this is our hobby. Like this is what we do to find joy. And if nature is what is bringing your heart the most joy, then that's 100% where you need to go. And when you radiate at that level, when you at that energetic level, it makes so much sense that that's what's resonating with your followers and inspiring them. Okay. Flower child. If you want to talk about flower child, I just did the most embarrassing thing the other day. So Billy, there's a waterfall near us. That's like 40 minutes away. And on our really hot days, we drive over to the waterfall and I have like a woo woo hippie moment where I go stand under the waterfall. The waterfall has like this gorgeous moss under the water. And I put my hands on the moss and I like feel the moss between my fingers. And I just kind of like have a prayer or like whatever you want to call it.
A moment of mindfulness. And then
I have a moment with Mother Nature. Like I talk with Mother Nature in that moment. And there were some other people at the watering hole that day. And I just like, didn't even care. Like, I just was like, I'm having my moment with Mother Nature right now. And as I left, this woman was like, can I ask what you were doing? And I was like, oh, you saw that. I was having a moment with Mother Nature and thanking her for everything. Sorry, I'm like a bit of a hippie. And she was like, no, I love that. I'm going to go do that. And so she went and had her moment with Mother Nature.
I love it. Yes. Yes. I love that. See, I heard a quote and I've been like repeating it nonstop since I've heard it, which is that when we show up authentically as ourselves, we give others permission to do the same.
Exactly. It's so beautiful. I love it. All right. I can't believe how quickly this time flew. And I really feel so connected to you. I feel like we're on very similar journeys in our 30s and growing and flowing and ebbing and blooming and growing and bloom journeying. So I'd love to leave off by asking you what your favorite way to grow joy is these days.
So it goes right back to the story you talked about being there and having a moment with nature and someone seeing you and wanting to do it. I think of it as like joy propagation, right? Because
I love that.
Yes. When you are shining in what gives you passion, for us, it's plants and nature, then that becomes infectious to other people. And you're now like propagating joy. So my favorite way to grow joy is by planting that seed of love and connection to plants and nature and other people, because that's how it spreads. I'm just like out here propagating plant joy all over the place and just like getting other people to like tap into that feeling of connecting with nature, connecting with plants. And it's just so beautiful. And that is 100% my favorite way to grow joy.
I love that. And I'm sure everyone listening is so joyful from this conversation because Mia, you are just a beautiful little beacon of light. Where can everyone follow you so they can find this joyful propagating content that you've been creating for us?
Oh my goodness. Please come and find me on Instagram at The Bloom Journey. And please DM me. Like, I love having random conversations with people. I do my best to respond to everyone. And you don't have to like have anything special to say. You can just drop a DM and be like, hey, I heard you on Bloom and Grow Radio podcast, and I just wanted to say hi. I would love to hear from you, hear about how you're having questions about plants. Oh my goodness. I have to sidebar, Maria, and tell you something. I think it's worth sharing at this moment.
Yes.
So I was in Central Park the other day because they had like this dancing in the park activity for free. And I was there free dancing in the park with my friend. And a woman runs up to me and she's like, excuse me, I think I follow you on Instagram. Are you the Bloom Journey? And I was like, I am. And we had this fun moment of like, I follow you. And, you know, I asked your question one time. And then she mentions you. She's like, oh, this other lady, she always responds to me. What's it? Bloom and Grow. I was like, Maria? She's like, yeah, she's so sweet. She always responds to all my questions. And I wanted to tell you that the minute she told me and I forgot, but I wanted to tell you that, like, hey, you never know who's talking about you, some faraway place, and how much just responding to someone's questions in the DM is like touching them. And they're telling people in the world, like, Maria always responds to my questions.
That is so sweet.
I love it. Yes. So I'm here to tell people, like, shoot me that DM. And if I don't have an answer, I will tell you, like, honestly, I do not know. So if you send me a blurry picture of your plant and you just say, why is my plant dying? I'm going to be prepared to be asked a lot of questions because I'm going to ask you, what kind of light is it getting? How much are you watering it? Can I get a better picture? How far is it from the window? So you're going to get
about a video?
Yeah. What about a video? What's your watering schedule look like? What kind of soil is it in? Does that plant have drainage holes? There's a lot of questions here.
Yeah. And then usually if I can't answer it, I'll normally tell people where to go. Like, you should go ask this person. This person will know the answer. I'm not going
to
know the answer.
I've definitely connected folks to the people who are like really into like succulents. I think that's part of the network of the plant community is knowing people who like specialize in specific things, right? If it's 100%. About cacti or succulents, it's not really my area, but I know where to send you.
Yes. Oh my gosh, me too. But yes, go follow Nia, the Bloom Journey. This was so much fun, my friend. And I want to come dancing with you in Central Park next time you're there. Please let me know.
Let's go have moments under waterfalls and touch moss and like be flower children barefoot in the grass. Like, I just want to do these things with you.
100%. You're always welcome. All right. Well, thank you so much. Until next time, I hope you'll come back soon and have another chat.
Absolutely. Thanks so much. Take care.
Thank you, Nia, for joining us today. Go follow her at The Bloom Journey on her socials. She's so much fun. This conversation, I feel like, is such a beautiful testimonial to the fact that, you know, we really think that we're having these extremely unique experiences with plants and the light bulb moment that we all have about plant care and self-care. But man, this experience of using plant care as self-care, using plants to live a happier, more connected life, it is so universal and it is so accessible to all of us. It's just about figuring out how to care for them, figuring out how to care for yourself best through this hobby and making it sustainable. And man, it was fun to chat with Nia and realize, gosh, none of us are really alone, are we? So thank you very much to Nia for this conversation. Thank you to the members of our Garden Party platform. I so appreciate your support for Bloom and Grow Radio. And it's so fun to see you all chatting and connecting in the platform. The Garden Society education also in the premium tier is just crazy. I mean, it's unparalleled. It's so incredible, the lectures that Leslie Halleck creates for us. And last but not least, thank you so much to the episode sponsors that have made this season of Bloom and Grow possible. If you do love Bloom and Grow and you do want to support us, a fabulous way of doing that is by using those sponsor codes when you are growing your plant collections or purchasing things, because it signals to our sponsors that we're doing our job over here at Bloom and Grow Radio, and it helps them support us to continue making these episodes. I'm really excited for the next couple of weeks as we kind of close out summer here. Especially, it's been so hot in the Catskills. Oh my God, it's been almost insufferable, but I've been really into leaning into what summer feels like in my spirit, like letting myself be a little slower, move a little slower, rest a little bit more, reap the bounty that, you know, we've been planting figuratively all season with the book launch and with all of these things that we're growing with Bloom and Grow. And, man, it just has me really thankful. It has me really freaking thankful that Plants are these green teachers that help remind us, and these seasons can be our natural teachers to help us remind ourselves how important it is to honor the seasons in our souls. So anyway, with that, plant friends, I hope that you keep blooming and keep growing joy. Plant friend, thank you so much for tuning in today. If you like what you heard, make sure that you're subscribed to the show on your preferred podcast player so you never miss an episode. And while you're there subscribing, if you wouldn't mind clicking over to the review section and leaving us a review, that would be tremendous. Reviews are so helpful for the growth of the podcast, so thank you so much in advance. If you're looking for more opportunities to grow as a plant parent with Bloom and Grow content, we have so many fun options for you that I want to tell you about. First off, there is the free Bloom and Grow Plant Parent Personality Test. It's free, it's super fun, and it only takes 3 minutes to complete. You take the test and you get your plant parent personality profile, and with that, you get a list of your strengths and weaknesses as a plant parent, and most importantly, my curated list of plants, projects, and podcast episodes that are perfectly suited for you and your planty interests based on your results. The test lives at bloomandgrowradio.com/personality and can always be found in the show notes of this episode. Okay, plant friends, here's the really good stuff. If you are looking to really grow and up-level your plant parent skills this year, I cordially and proudly invite you to join the Bloom and Grow Virtual Garden Society, rooted in high-quality education and plant community. Plant friends, this is not your grandma's garden society. It's virtual and therefore connects you with plant friends around the world, accessed via our proprietary Garden Party platform and app, and has the best educational and community-based content and resources available to anyone. When you join, you get immediate access to the entire Bloom and Grow Garden Party platform and app, which is our exclusive space, off social media, algorithm-free, troll-free, with tons of amazing ways to meet other plant parents like you, like regional groups, daily conversation prompts, and even a plant swap space, which is pretty cool. And in addition to that, you get all of the exclusive premium society content, which is 3 monthly live calls with myself and our horticulturist in residence and beloved Bloom and Grow Radio guest, Leslie Halleck, all in the interest of helping you grow. Leslie hosts monthly Node of Knowledge plant science lectures and monthly office hours, which we call AHAs, or Ask Our Horticulturist Anythings, where you can troubleshoot your personal plant collection problems with her. Think about that. You have access to a horticulturist to troubleshoot your personal plant care issues. So amazing. And then I host monthly Growing Joy calls for community development and to explore the plant care, self-care aspect of plant parenthood. Plus, when you join, you not only get access to the upcoming live calls, but you get full access to all of the replays of previous calls and lectures, like The Science of Plant Dormancy or Grow Lights 101 and beyond. So you can binge your way to your best year yet of plant parenthood. Please come join us. We're having so much fun. Learn more by clicking the link in the show notes or visiting jointhegardensociety.com. For anything else, plant friend, I'm here for you. Feel free to drop me a line when you have an idea for an episode, an event, or even if you're a planty business interested in sponsoring the show. And of course, follow me on Instagram and TikTok for daily planty silliness, musings, and behind-the-scenes podcast content. Thank you again for listening to Bloom and Grow Radio. It is my true honor and delight to always help you keep blooming and keep growing. Plant friends, propagate knowledge, and grow some freaking joy. That's the motto of the Growing Joy Garden Society app and platform, otherwise known as the plantiest and kindest corner of the internet. If you've been an OG listener or a longtime listener, you might also know this app and platform as the Bloom and Grow Garden Party, but with the rebrand, we've rebranded it to the Growing Joy Garden Society. No trolls allowed, kind plant friends only. And if you haven't heard about the society yet, plant friend, you got to join. It's my online community that you can access via iOS or Android app or on your computer that I built to connect our international community of plant friends so we can all nerd out together about plants and celebrate our passion for our beloved plant babies. We have members literally all over the world. I'm so in love with this community of sweet plant friends. I can't say enough amazing things about them. But also, there's a lot of really cool features about the app you might be interested in. There's dedicated hashtags to all sorts of different subsects of planty passions like houseplants, gardening, plant-inspired DIY projects, growing joy, plants and pets, and so many more. There's a plantrepreneur group, so if you're a planty entrepreneur and you want to connect with other planty entrepreneurs, you can join that group to connect and network. There's a plant swap section. Plus, the entire app, and this is my favorite part, is entirely searchable. So say you want to learn more about Hoya, you type the word Hoya into the search bar, and literally every post ever created about Hoya will pop up. So you can click in, see what other people have been posting about Hoya, and learn on your own and crowdsource hair information. It's so cool. But last but not least, it's an amazing way to support the show. Your monthly membership not only goes to sustaining the platform, but it also supports my team of editors, writers, and a community manager that help the world of Bloom and Grow keep growing. So come join us. All you got to do is go to jointhegardensociety.com and sign up for the community plan. Once again, you go to jointhegardensociety.com and click the community plan. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test. Because, plant friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little plant parent personality quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right house plants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.